Beautiful images in the readings today. This is the eighth week of an ordinary time, which, interestingly enough, sometimes we kind of miss. It either kind of gets left off when we move into the season of Lent, or after Easter, after Pentecost, we move into a different week. But readings are rather very powerful. And I think a beautiful reflection for us as we move into the season of Lent as well. Some beautiful things for us to reflect on. And specifically, the sense of our own speech. At first reading, even the gospel, about the words that we speak actually come from our own heart. And are we at rest? Are we angry? Are we struggling with something? Are we joy-filled? And I think if you were to reflect enough, you would probably be able to recognize that sometimes your speech and your conversation with people at times really is directed to where your heart is. If you've had a long day and it's been a struggle of the day, then yeah, maybe you're going to be a little bit on edge with your words. Maybe it's been a great day and a joyful day, then the way that you speak or encounter with other people might actually be very joy-filled and whatnot. That our speech really is connected to our own heart. And just to recognize, too, of what do we desire for our words to accomplish? I think sometimes we just speak to speak. Or sometimes I do. Sometimes I figure out what I'm saying as I'm talking, which sometimes might not always be the best way to figure things out. I always used to admire, but also a little perturbed by Monsignor Louis Pavlicek. Whenever you asked him a question, he would pause for about 5 seconds, reflecting. And then he always gave a pretty good and direct answer. So I've even tried to begin to adopt some of that in my own life. Let me think first before I speak. Because it is important. What are we desiring to communicate when we do speak, when we do engage in conversation with others? What point are we desiring to get across? What is really the intention of our own heart? Sometimes maybe it is just to communicate. Sometimes maybe it is trying to say something that is hard with love, something that is difficult. But realizing the power of our speech and of our words and how we can know a person by how they speak. This really makes me a little nervous as all of you guys listen to me speak every week. What do my words say? What do you hear from what I speak, from what I say? The gospel also speaks about bearing fruit. And a beautiful image here. What does it mean that our words and our actions throughout our daily life should bear fruit? Growing up, my grandfather was kind of had hands in all kinds of things. He had about 3 or 4 acres of property, and he was a mechanic, and he would do just about anything for anybody. And he also had a lot of fruit trees. He liked fruit. And so in the front of the house were a couple of fig trees. Over in the garden were a peach tree, a couple of apricots. He even had a plum tree. He even tried an apple tree, which didn't do well in Texas. He had dewberries. He had all kinds of trees, particular fruit. I remember growing up, a couple of the trees that did really well at that time were his apricot trees. My grandfather loved his apricots, and he would give them to his kids and the grandkids and even pass them out to his own neighbors and others. That the joy that my grandfather received in the fruit of his own tree that he had tilled and taken care of was that he found enjoyment in it, but he also desired for others to find enjoyment in that as well. Even my grandmother would take many of them, especially if there was a lot left over, and she would make jelly out of it. And we would even be able to enjoy those same apricots even throughout the whole next year, or maybe even the next 2 years. And if you knew my grandmother, she put enough sugar in it that it probably last 5 to 10 years. Plenty of sugar. You didn't have to put that stuff in the fridge. If you put it in the fridge, it was a brick, so you just left it in the cabinet because it had so much sugar in it. Anyway. Us grandkids loved it, right? Yeah. Anyway, but that sense of, do we desire and recognize that the simple words that I speak, how much fruit will they bear on throughout my own existence? It's been interesting to me sometimes even like talking to my grandparents or aunt and uncles, even sometimes with my own parents, and how we'll say a certain person will come up. And it's interesting because they remember one small conversation that either makes them honor and love that person, or even sometimes one short conversation with them, in some sense, kind of turns a sort of hatred against them. Sometimes I kind of wonder, did that person realize what they said or didn't say? Or what kind of an effect that they had or didn't have? So just that realization, how powerful our words are. I'm pretty sure if you were to think about many people whom you've encountered through life, many times you could connect it to certain things that they said or didn't say, or they did or they didn't do. And realize this is kind of a lot of times how we know how we can trust a person or stay friends with them. If they are true to their words, to their own actions, we continue to follow them, right? So how are we able to interpret and listen to God's words, right? That's kind of what we do at the first part of the Mass. We listen. How do we interpret? How do we receive? How do we trust the words that God speaks to us and allow them to live in our own life and to maybe even share them to another person? If they bear fruit in us, if they bring joy to us, then sharing those in other people, how maybe they can potentially bear fruit in that person's life, and that person even sharing it to others to maybe allow that word to even bear fruit to other people. We recognize that what hinders this is sin, very specifically stated by St. Paul in that second reading. Jesus has destroyed sin on the cross, which has taken away the sting of death. Death still exists, but we believe that those who believe in God will spend eternity with Him in heaven. And so if you think about it, I know many times when I was younger, I was always afraid of wasps and bees because I could get stung. And I had been stung a few different times. There's a sense of then a fear of not wanting to go around them or be close to them because of being hurt by them. But if we recognize that if that bee or wasp was to lose its stinger, then that particular insect only really kind of becomes a nuisance. It kind of flies around us and bothers us, but it can't hurt us. And this is specifically what St. Paul is trying to get us to understand and see with sin in our lives. Yes, we are still human. We still have the human condition. We still are hurt sometimes by people's speech and words and actions. And sometimes we hurt others because other people have hurt us. Sometimes we've been sinned against, and so therefore we sin against others, and we kind of perpetuate that. But St. Paul is saying you have also been loved. You have been redeemed and saved. Recognizing that, how do you perpetuate that? How do you love others because you've been loved? How have you been forgiven in the sacrament of reconciliation and desire to forgive others? So hopefully they will then desire to forgive other people too who hurt them. And this fruit will continue to go forward. That in our world there is rotten fruit produced from evil. But there is also good fruit that can be produced as well. During the season of Lent, I hope that it is an opportunity of transformation. How can you let God till your own heart, till the soil? How can you help Him to allow Him to pour His love into you and to receive that love, knowing that you are a sinner who is loved? God desires for you to bear good fruit through your words and through your own actions. By first noticing and recognizing that we do have a beam, maybe particular sins in our own life, and sometimes we ignore our own sins because we don't want to deal with them. But they still have an effect on how we relate with others. First, notice and deal with what you have, and then you'll be able to speak clearly, you'll be able to speak with love, and your words will bear more fruit throughout your own life. Throughout the season of Lent, as we begin this coming Wednesday, what fruit does God desire for your life to bear? How can your life bear more fruit that is life-giving and that is encouraging as God pours into you? And maybe finally, what is keeping you from bearing fruit? What is keeping you from following the Lord, from turning away from sin, from recognizing sin can be forgiven through the confessional? Sin has been destroyed on the cross. How can you recognize that it no longer has power over you? You can be forgiven and released from it. May this season of Lent be a time of beautification and transformation in your own life. May you first begin with your own sinfulness and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to do in my life during these next 40 days? And I'd encourage you maybe to give 10 or 15 minutes of silence, which might be kind of hard, but just spend a little bit of time in just reflection of, Lord, what do you want to happen during this season of Lent? How can my life change in the next 40 days that I may bear more fruit for my family, may bear more fruit for my spouse, that I may bear more fruit for my friends, that I may bear more fruit in this world for the continuation of your love and of your forgiveness.